so can I ask her, are there any apologies? Order of business? Declarations of interest? Item 4 on the agenda is, are the minutes from the meeting on 25th of June 2013, as well as Tuesday 24th of June 2014. Everybody content? So, Mrs. Murray, welcome. My name is Andrew Coventry. I'm the chair of the Petitions Committee. I'll just explain to you the procedure that we'll follow here this morning. Well, first of all, you will present your petition to the committee, and you can state your reasons for doing so. The committee may then ask you some questions. I will then ask the council officers to make a response, and they in turn will be asked questions by the committee. And after which the committee will confer before coming to a decision. There are three possible outcomes that we can come to here this morning. The first is to take no action, in which case we'll give you the reasons for that. The second possible outcome is to pass the petition to the relevant director or other council committees to look into, with or without any specific recommendation. And the third possible outcome is, if the petition relates to another public organisation, we may pass it on to that organisation with or without any specific recommendation. Is that understood? Yeah. Okay, thank you. So, can I just ask you, when you do speak, if you press a button for the microphone in front of you there? Okay, thank you.
We raised the petition due to the withdrawal of the 328 bus service, which serviced Hilltown, Dander, Newton Village, Miller Hill, Oakley Hall and Dander Hall, which was the back end of Dander Hall. We feel that the Ring and Go taxi service, which has been put in place to replace the bus service, isn't fit for purpose. It isn't available to the people in Dander Hall. Basically, they've been told that they can walk to the main road. We have a lot of elderly residents at the back end of Dander Hall who use the bus, who cannot walk to the main road and have now been basically made housebound. We have, in some cases, there's a couple of cases where they're now suffering from depression. We have elderly people who are being basically housebound, they can't get out unless family goes to take them out. Apart from the fact that it was a means of getting out, it was also a means of socialising, which I believe the council look and support other services to help prevent loneliness and isolation of elderly people. And the withdrawal of this service to our residents has actually put that in place. They've made them isolated. We tried to get a meeting with Transport and the council, through the councillors, and it never materialised. So we went to the community council and asked them if they would support us and push forward and hold a public meeting, which we did have. Now, at that public meeting, there was a few proposals which were taken forward to Lothian Transport by Colin Beattie, the MSP, because it was quite obvious from the meeting that the three local councillors who attended were not willing to take it forward. Since I completed the forum. We have had a response from Ian Craig of Lothian Transport. And Ian Craig is basically... The proposals we put forward was to reroute a 30 once an hour, or to reroute the 33 or 49 once an hour. Bus stops are already in place, so that shouldn't be a problem. the 30 was never going to be a goer. We didn't expect that to be, but the 3349, there are six of those buses pass along the main road at Dander Hall an hour in both directions. And what we asked for was for one an hour, them to look at diverting one an hour up over the Wisp, down Edmonston Road, down into Newton Village and up the new road to the Park and Ride. Now, what this would constitute would be that the council wouldn't have to provide a ring-and-go service for the people in Newton Village because they would then have a bus service. It wasn't an ideal solution for the residents of Hilltown and Miller Hill, but at least it was a start, and at least it gave, as we've seen it, it was a win-win situation. The council were going to be, you know, we were going to have a bus service. The Lothian Transport couldn't lose because they were going to get passengers, even though it's like a lot of them concessionary passes, which they still get paid for. They're not getting these passengers at the moment, so they would therefore be getting the passengers. Now, it also has an ongoing effect on the economy because the people who can't get to the main road now from Dander Hall or don't use the ring and go taxi service, I know, out spending money. I know myself personally used that bus 3-4 times a week. And when I came over to Dalkeith, I never spent any less than £10 when I was here. I'm lucky if I come over here. At the moment, I'm coming over once a week, roughly, because I've got to come here to get a bus to Musselburgh. But other than that, I'm just that bus stop to bus stop and home again. But the ring and go taxi service, to go back to that, it isn't fit for purpose. There's an elderly resident, it's about 80, who stays in Miller Hill, who uses the ring and go taxi service on a weekly basis. So to use that service, she needs to phone up in the morning, book the taxi for the time she wants to take it, she goes to Dalkeith in it, and also estimate the time for them to come back and pick her up. Now that taxi, the example is, a taxi came from Dalkeith and picked this 80-year-old lady up. He took her to the Park and Ride and dropped her there. He then carried on to Dalkeith and left her there to get a bus to Dalkeith. To get the bus back to Miller Hill, she had to get the bus from Dalkeith to the Park and Ride. When he then came from Dalkeith to the Park and Ride and picked her up. Now, we're talking about an 80-year-old lady, vulnerable, standing at a Park and Ride on her own. Now, this is in the summertime, spring, summertime. We're now coming into autumn, winter. And this lady, is she still going to have to do it? Bear in mind, I know there's a report attached to this, but there's nowhere in this report from the Directorate of Resources that states that if she is standing there waiting on her taxi to come and say, pick her up at 11:30, and I book a taxi to take me to the airport, and the only taxi they have is the one that's going for her, they will send that taxi for me to take me to the airport, and then they will then send that taxi back to the Park and Ride to pick that lady up. So she could be standing there for an hour, because full-paying passengers take priority over the subsidised passengers. Well, we're looking at the council now. We feel that they didn't look into it enough when they withdrew the service. There is a recommendation from Lothian Transport, which is basically, they're saying that when show fare becomes a reality, commercial dynamics may change. But what it is saying is, if the council is interested in exploring ways in which revisions to the network could be made in advance of new demand building up, we would be more than happy to discuss possibilities for making alterations on a subsidised basis, whereby the subsidy is provided by way of pump priming along the lines of the old bus route development grant scheme. Now, to my knowledge, the council hasn't looked at that. They've just basically put out a tender for buses which was too high. We accept that. We accept that we won't get the same service that we had. It wasn't sustainable. It is a low-demand area. But we feel that both the council and Lothian Transport have a duty of care in the community to the rural areas. And although Lothian Transport is a business, they should also have a duty, considering that they made a record amount of profit this year, that some of that money should be used to help provide service to the rural areas. You have a railway station which will be opening in 2015. To me, that would seem a perfect time to look at the pump priming, as Ian Craig of Lothian Transport suggests, the BRDG scheme. This would be a prime example to qualify for it. Because in 3 years' time, there should be houses there, shopping areas that are going to be developed into a town. And this would, to me, would seem a perfect example to use and qualify for what Ian Craig is suggesting. He's not dismissing out of hand a bus service, but what he is saying is that it would need to be subsidised. And whilst we appreciate that Midlothian Council are having to cut costs, there has to be ways that have not been explored to provide a bus service in this area. Basically, we did the groundwork. We went round the houses, the doors, door to door. We spoke to the people. They are, to go back to your the report that came in, it says here, ensuring qualities, removal of the bus service may impact on all who use this service. In particular, many of the users are elderly or have a disability. However, the Ring and Go service will mitigate this. The people in Dander Hall don't qualify for the Ring and Go service, even though the people that used the bus, they had the bus service. It's the people at the back end of Dander Hall that used it. And it also says the provision of the Ring and Go service will reduce the likelihood of increased car travel. That's not true. There are more people using their cars now. They used the bus previously because it was there. Now they're using their cars. We're basically looking for the council to put pressure on Lothian Transport to help come up with a solution to this, and for them to be given more than 1 week's notice to come up to have a look at it. I believe when the tenders went out that the Lothian Transport were approached and asked if they could provide a service, but the transport team needed a response back within a week. That's unacceptable. I mean, nobody would accept that they could come back with that response in a week. So basically they said they couldn't help. I feel that the questions that have been asked of Lothian Transport aren't being phrased or being put in the proper context as to what's required. And it needs to be looked at, and there has to be solutions out there that are not as costly as what the previous bus service was. We're not looking for the moon. We don't want a bus every 20 minutes, every 15 minutes. A bus once every hour would be fantastic. Once every 2 hours would be great. But there has to be other places out there that are available to the council to use. I know the LCTS. Councillor Bennett, the public meeting, Councillor Bennett did agree that a bus is needed and suggested a new route using the park and ride. They also agreed at the meeting, public meeting that we had, to revamp the Ring and Go taxi service, which we've been down to Councillor Bennett in his surgery in September. We were at Councillor Bryant's surgery in October. We were down at Councillor Bryant's surgery last night to get response to questions that we asked, and we haven't had. He was actually supposed to meet me today, this morning, before prior to this meeting, to give me the response to the questions we asked him a month ago.
Thank you. You switch off. Does any member of the committee have any questions for Mrs. Murray or the petitioner? I'll pass across to Ricky.
Thanks, Chair. Just by way of introduction, just to my right-hand side is Trevor Doherty, who's the travel team manager. So Trevor deals with transport needs right across the council on a day-to-day basis. So between us, hopefully, we'll be able to answer any questions that might come up. I'm not necessarily going to go through the kind of small report that I did verbatim, but just kind of highlight one or two things for members and the two ladies, and then at the end of that, happy to take any questions. There was initially a bit of concern in relation to why the 328 was withdrawn. I'd just like to make it absolutely clear that what happened, Edinburgh Coach Lines carried out a fundamental review of all areas of their business, and following that review, they alone determined that the existing contract that they had with both East Lothian and Mid Lothian councils was unsustainable. In other words, they determined they were losing money, and they duly gave us notice to withdraw from the contract. At that point in time, we in Mid Lothian supported that contract to the sum of just over £100,000 per annum. So what we did, having been given due notice, and it's a 90-day notice that Edinburgh Coach Lines gave us, we then went out to tender, not just to Lothian Buses. It was an open tender, and indeed it included Edinburgh Coach Lines. And we went out on a couple of options. One was where East and Mid Lothian would look at a continued joint service. And we also looked at Mid Lothian only services, and that would have been a more restricted route. For those of you that might be aware, the 328 went away as far as Trenent and places like that, and then also within Mid Lothian it came up through Dalkeith and it went to Cowsland. So there was quite an extensive route there. Eventually the prices came back, and in terms of a Mid Lothian option, the joint contract would have seen to have gave us, of the options that came back, better value. But East Lothian, having reviewed it, determined that they could provide some of the journeys that were included within that proposal themselves or on other routes, and they weren't willing to support that joint tender. So it then left us with the only option at the time, which was a Mid Lothian only based route, going down to Musselburgh as well, I hasten to add. But that was going to show something like a 50% increase. So we were just under £150,000, and I reported that to Cabinet on the 22nd of April this year. But what we also did is we also spoke to Lothian Buses on the basis that they returned the lowest tender. In fact, they were the only tender. And we also said to them, look, there was a pot of money there previously. What can you do for that kind of money, the £100,000? And they came back, having reviewed it, and they were of the view that there was nothing they could offer us. And we were going to be entirely flexible. So whether it was, as you suggest, diverting routes or providing just a very small localised service, it was Lothian Buses that responded. And I'm not aware that, just a kind of feedback in terms of the, something that was mentioned, that we gave them a week. You know, it was kind of what can you provide and come back within time frames. Now, to be fair to Lothian Buses, they did say that they had imminently the introduction of the trams, and they were wanting to look at how the trams settled down, and we could come back to them kind of in the late autumn. But certainly they didn't at that time see anything that they could offer us. So in terms of the Ring and Go service, and the Ring and Go service is specifically for a geographic area, and we introduced two services, one for the Cowsand area and one for the Newton Miller Hill area. Dander Hall, because of its kind of wider geographic spread, it's always difficult to kind of say where a Ring and Go stops and starts. But at this moment in time, the Ring and Go service provided for Newton Lone, Miller Hill, and the Cowsland areas, and we've got 75 and 41 people registered for those services respectively. It's probably worth pausing at that point, Chair, and as I say, quite happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Yep, Councillor.
Me, hi. Yeah. Sorry, I was going to ask Ricky if anything had been done to determine how much of the version of the, as has been suggested by the petitioners, to the 49 and 33 services would cost, but I take it from what you've just said that whatever it would be more than £100,000 if you've offered that amount of money to Lothian to come up with some kind of solution that might have included that. Is that fair to say? Secondly, I know that mention was made, I think, with the petitioners about Shawfair coming along, and you had been told that there was a possibility of maybe some commercial solutions coming when that comes along. That's obviously a fair bit of time away. However, there's a paper coming up this afternoon to full council on the Waverley line, and on one of the parts of that report, it refers to the signage that's going to be going up in each of the stations, and it's what it says on the Shawfair station is a light here for the ERI. Now, how are folk going to get from there to the ERI at the moment? Is there the potential or some kind of service being put in to connect directly to the station that could maybe potentially come up round the Wackadander Hall, for instance, which might resolve some of the issues? Is there anything on the horizon with that? Thirdly, mention has been made the bus route development grant, pump priming mechanism. Is that still on the go? I wasn't too clear on that, if that was still something, a fund that was still in existence.
Thanks, Chris. In terms of the diversion of the existing buses, kind of getting back to a point that the lady made in terms of pressure, if you like, on Lothian Buses. As members will be aware, Lothian Buses is a private organisation in that regard, and we can no more exert pressure on them than we can any other bus company. They make commercial decisions. And in that regard, in terms of diverting buses, it's very much within their thinking that by diverting a bus off what is seen as the kind of the direct route, then their belief is that that then may impact on patronage. People basically saying, I'm not going all that way, I'll go on the other buses that miss that. And so the bus companies themselves are always reluctant to do those diversions. But certainly in the discussions we had, it was basically a blank piece of paper if there was anything they could offer us, and they weren't willing to come forward on that. In terms of the Shawfair and the bus development grant, there is no bus development grant, but what there is within Shawfair, there is development monies that are set aside for transport, and we are looking at what may be put in place as a result of Shawfair and the wider Shawfair. So certainly in terms of in the future, we can look at where a bus route may be, the route that it may take. So that's certainly something that is very much active in the thinking process at this moment in time.
Councillor Baxter.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. I'd like to echo one or two of the comments that Jim made there, particularly on the rerouting some of these services. Now, I know that, for instance, people in Rosewell at the moment complain about you need to take a picnic with you if you get the 49 into town, you know, because of the community hospital, Tesco, the park and ride, ERI. It's not a bus that people take if they're going directly into Edinburgh. They take it because they're going to the RI, for example, and similarly with the 33. So I wonder if we can put a bit more pressure on Lothian buses and say to them, look, you know, if people are going from Dalkeith to Edinburgh, they don't generally tend to take the 49. It's if they're going to somewhere en route. And so they wouldn't be more disappointed, if you like, to add an extra 5 minutes to what's already a long journey if they're going to somewhere like the RI. But if they're going into Edinburgh, they'll get something like number three, for example. So I think that there is a case to present to Lothian buses that, yes, they have radial routes, they have routes which are perhaps faster and more direct, but there are other ones which perhaps shouldn't be seen in that way. The pump primer scheme, again, you are, like Jim, I wasn't aware if this was still going or not. Maybe it's something that, particularly with Shawfair, you know, when this comes up, it worked exceptionally well in Hopefield in Bonnyrigg. It went, you know, beyond everyone's expectations in how having a bus service that was guaranteed for 4 years, that people would start to use it, and they have done. And I think it's something that we should make sure in our negotiations that we are taking into account existing areas. I'd like to ask you a question, though, on some, just picking up on something one of the petitioners said before about the Ring and Goose service, where it's to pick somebody up from Dalkeith, they have to travel to the park and ride, and then the taxi then goes to the park and ride to pick them up. Is that correct? And if so, why?
Sorry, what the Ring and Go service does is quite simply it takes people from, so for example, Newton Miller Hill, it takes them to the nearest point of to pick up a regular bus service. So in terms of Newton Miller Hill, it's either Sheriff Hall or the bus stop at near Molesford Avenue, or indeed takes them down to Musselburgh. I think a lot of people had... they were registered with doctors, etc. in Musselburgh. So it takes them to the nearest point where they can pick up public transport. Another example is Cowsland, where the nearest point is Dalkeith. So it brings them down to where the nearest point in Dalkeith, where they can actually then pick up a bus to then continue their journey to wherever they go. That's the kind of the way that the Ring and Go service works.
Councillor Rosie.
Yes, thanks. Just a couple of things. It's on the going off route. Has it been looked at whether, as Ms. Murray said, about they accept even one every 2 hours doing that? Is that a possibility that could be explored and put to Lothian buses? Bear in mind there are some other routes in Mid Lothian. I know, like, say, the 62 at nights going to Pennycook or right down to Peebles, that goes round by Roslyn because it picks up on the 15 that doesn't go at these times of night. I just wondered if that was a possibility it could be looked at and would be less costly, obviously, to do that. And one bus every 2 hours doing that wouldn't be maybe a big issue. The other thing is on the point made about the Dial and Go service, the priority that's given, is it right that someone going to the airport would take precedent over someone wanting just the Dial and Go service to get up to the bus route? On that one.
Can I just add a wee bit, because I was just about to mention something very similar about the, I believe it was mentioned, there's 6 buses an hour, and to divert one every hour or every 2 hours, it's something that we could approach Lothian Transport with a view, hopefully, to look upon that sympathetically. But the other point, before you answer Councillor Rose's point, is it right that the Ring and Go, if I understood properly, that there's areas of Dander Hall which aren't covered by the Ring and Go?
There's nobody in Dander Hall qualifies for it.
Just to answer that, I mean, in terms of diverting one bus, whatever, yeah, we can certainly approach Lothian buses. We've got Trevor and his colleague Carl Vanters, who are speaking to Lothian buses almost on a daily basis in terms of any improvements that we can make to the bus service. So in other words, if we needed to divert it or kind of wherever. But I come back to the point or the points that I've made earlier on, that it's a purely commercial basis in which they make their decisions. There was mention made about Lothian buses have a duty of care. Essentially, they are very much a commercial organisation, so decisions are made on that basis. And what they've said to us in the past is that this whole idea about diverting 1 in 5, 1 in 6 buses, they're always very reluctant to do that. But absolutely, we can approach them and come back with a definitive response on that. In terms of whether the paid passenger takes priority, the Ring and Go is quite clear in terms of what we ask the operators to provide. Now, the first thing I would say is that we've not had any feedback at all, complaints that the Ring and Go service isn't delivering what it should. And the only way that we can respond to the operator and raise concerns is by way of having those complaints. but I can say that you phone up, you book, and you get your time, and that's it. There is no, the operator will cancel you or whatever because I've got a paid passenger. It is very much that's the contract that we've got with the operator. If they've got a fare that's arranged for a certain time, then they honour that. And as I say, if that hasn't happened, we've not had any feedback, but certainly we would act on that if there was. I think that's kind of
question. My other point was asking about the running and going Dander Hall.
Yeah, as I said earlier, the ring and go service is generally introduced in a known geographic area, and that's why the kind of the more outlying areas, Newton Village, Miller Hill, and Cowsland, had the ring and go service introduced. If, for example, you have disabled who are previously used the 328 at Edmondson Road, for example, there is always the taxi car that's available for them, but not the elderly. If there was a proposal to introduce the Ring and Go service, then the difficulty within Dander Hall is what are the geographic parameters, because it wouldn't simply be those people on the route, in other words, Edmondson Road, it's how far, you know, either extremity. You could say it's the whole of Dander Hall. What I can't then do is determine what that would likely cost to the council. It would be a kind of almost a suck it and see, but that's the kind of general rule of thumb that's been used in the past for ring and go services. But that's not to say it couldn't be introduced in an area, whatever that area may be, in the Dander Hall area.
Could I just point out something with regards to the 4933 service? Prior to the park and ride opening, the 49 terminus was in top Edmondson Road. That bus went in through Dander Hall. It went down Edmondson Road, up Newton Church Road, and then back in Edinburgh. Now, we were told at the time when the park and ride opened that the reason was that the bus, the single deck buses, could not turn left at the top of Newton Church Road. That was the reason why it wasn't. That was the reason given for taking it away from Dander Hall. Now you're only talking a couple of minutes. That's the only difference in that, and how that could possibly cost more than £100,000 a year, or even £50,000 a year. Is, you know, that's unacceptable from Lothian Transport. That's an excuse from them. But that bus did come into Dander Hall previously and was taken away. And at the time when it was taken away, I did go to the councillor at the time, Councillor Bennett, and what I was told then was that they couldn't subsidise Lothian Transport and subsidise the service to still come into Dander Hall because they were already subsidising the 328 bus, which of course now is not the case. But the ring go, where does that leave our elderly and infirm disabled people in Dander Hall? Because especially Dander Hall, because they can't get out now. There's one lady that's costing her £30, it's cost her £40 up to now to go down to the Royal Infirmary for her checkups. Have fallen in operation. And the ring and go service, we've got a lady in Newton Village who used that bus daily. She walks up now from Newton Village to Dander Hall. For her to use the ring and go taxi service to do her voluntary work, this lady's 80 year old, by the way, and walks up that road, the farm road, with no lighting, etc., on a daily basis. She's not going to be able to get out to her voluntary. It would cost her £80 a month to use the ring and go taxi service. An 80-year-old doesn't have £80 a month to pay in a taxi service, especially when they qualify for a bus pass. So I'd like that to be taken into consideration.
So, sorry, the only thing I was going to say is that what the lady's suggesting in terms of the bus... whether it was or wasn't in Dander Hall, what it did in terms of Sheriff Hall. Unfortunately, that's kind of history now, and there's not an awful lot we can do about that. It's very much about the services that are there presently, and it comes back to that discussion that certainly we can have that discussion with Lothian Transport to see what options, if any, that they're willing to entertain. So that's the kind of the buses side. In terms of the ring and go, I've already suggested or stated to the members that the ring and go service can extend as far and as wide as members would like it to do so. Similarly, it's also worth mentioning that in terms of the cost, people that use the ring and go service pay the first £1.50, and the council then pick up the cost of the remaining part of that journey. For those journeys that have been undertaken from kind of since it started, the average subsidy that the council's paid is just over £6 per journey. The other thing I should add is that the ring and go service, there is no concession, because when you travel on the bus, the concession comes from Transport Scotland, from a kind of a ring-fenced pool, and that goes directly to the bus operator. Again, it's within the gift of this council to look at the ring and go service and decide that it was going to be completely free. So in other words, that the passengers themselves didn't have to pay the first £1.50. These are all decisions that are within the gift of the council. So you can either decide that you'll have a free service, you can then determine the extent of the ring and go service. So as the lady suggested, that if you wanted somebody to be able to go from Dander Hall to Dalkeith, for example, you can do that. Clearly it all comes at a cost, but that would be for members to consider whether they wanted to extend it by geographic area and then vary the terms of the ring and go service.
Can I just point out that the ring and go service takes them down to Musselburgh directly to Tesco or the High Street, but they could actually get a bus from Stonybank. So why is there a difference between going to Musselburgh and going to Dalkeith?
Because the 328 originally serviced Musselburgh, and our understanding was that there were residents of Dander Hall who still use Musselburgh for doctors, etc. So that's why the service was provided down to Musselburgh. As Ricky said, in terms of the ring and go service, once the ring and go drops you off at the bus stop, then there are buses into Dalkeith. There's no other option for Musselburgh as far as we can see, and also for turning the vehicles. So Musselburgh was the logical place just to go to. We felt that that was the best service to people who want to use ring and go.
Thanks for that, for clearing that up. The only bit about the ring and go with the going to Dalkeith is the what bothers me and a lot of the residents is leaving vulnerable pensioners standing in a park and ride that is open and nobody there, because this lady uses this weekly, and there's very seldom anybody else at that park and ride when she's standing there waiting on her taxi. And we have to bear in mind, this service has been in during spring, summer. We're now coming into autumn, winter. So we're talking that it's going to be a lot more difficult for these people to get out and about now than it was in the summer.
Can I propose that the committee pass the petition to Lothian Transport, but we also pass the petition on to the council officers to have a look at a feasibility of extending the ring and go, you know, to see how realistic that could be. Councillor?
Ricky mentioned during his initial contribution that when Lothian Transport were approached on this matter, they were in a difficult situation and they were bedding in the trams and things like that, and he did indicate that they had suggested that you could come back to them at some later stage later this year. I'm presuming, for what we're saying, that hasn't been done yet. Therefore, could we be going back to Lothian and looking at specifically, I take on board the points that Councillor Baxter makes about the 49 in terms of it's no like, I know that the 33 folk are coming out the town to Gorebrig and they've got to go through Mayfield and things like that, and I get quite a lot of the complaints about that, how long that journey is. And you know, you would try to avoid making that longer because people are making long journeys on that. Whereas the point that's been made about the 49 is, you know, your destination isn't going to be Bonnerig to the Toon if you've got to be going somewhere in between, or you would take a different bus. So maybe we could be looking specifically at that and asking them, and by all means, as been suggested, provide them with a copy of the petition as well. The issue of extending the park and ride to the Danderhall area, I mean, I'm trying to get my head around what we're trying to resolve here, and it's always difficult when we've got local knowledge or individual circumstances that are really impacted by something like the withdrawal of that. But I'm thinking, though, the people you're describing obviously live on the periphery, the far end of Danderhall. There will be people disabled that live in the centre of Danderhall that it's just as far to go to the main road as it is to go to Edmiston Road when the service was there, and therefore if they're as infirm as the person you're talking about, they would never, they've never been able to do anything. And it just becomes, but that is the case for so many of our communities. There are many of our communities where the journey to the bus stop from their house is longer than going from the back of Danderhall to the main road. We've got to be fair to everybody. How can we institute the ring and go service for the whole of Danderhall and no do that in a lot of your other communities which are further for the main road? And that's the dilemma that we've got when we're trying to figure out how we spend scarce resources here. Can we afford to spend, I know you're accepting we can't, but can we afford to spend £150,000 to reinstate that route going back to the back of Danderhall for the number of people that we're talking about here when we've got issues in other places? It's just, it's no easy, but I think the way forward is to try to ask the Lothian Transport to reconsider even one of the, another of the 49s to be, although I do realise, and I'm surprised you haven't said that, the potential impact of that. I mean, we as laymen look and say, how can it cost that amount of money to divert a bus? But if diverting that bus, it's got knock-on effects to the timetable right through the day, and it might mean, and I've heard the argument put, that an additional bus has got to be put on, and that's where the big money comes in. You know, if it means that there's another bus got to be bought and another driver's employed, it has a knock-on effect because everything's that tightly run. So it's not an easy thing to do, but I think the only thing we can do is to go back and ask them if they're prepared to move on that.
Yeah, it's just on a follow-on from that is we also have to bear in mind that we do have ring-and-go services in other areas of Midlothian, such as Howgate and certain times of Auchendinny and that, isn't it? And I'm sure there'll be others, which is the knock-on implications of it. You know, we're not just talking about one area here. If we make a decision or put that to council, they've got to look on the whole of Midlothian and the impact that would have. And although if we just do it in one area, that might be, well, that's sort of manageable, but we'd probably have to implement that throughout Midlothian, and that could have serious implications on us if we do decide that the whole of the ring and go thing was free. It's just another thing we've got to bear in mind, I think, you know, when we are pushing forward. But I quite agree that we should be doing something to try and put pressure on Lothian Region if we can, and come up with the suggestions. I think Ms Murray's put forward quite a good case there, but as Jim says, we don't always know the full, just holding on one bus could have, but I think we should do something to put forward the case.
Could I just add that I've managed to go back as far as 75 years there's been a bus coming through Newton Village, Musselburgh, Newton Village and Danderhall. 75 years is as far back as I've been able to take it, but there's been a bus once an hour for the last 75 years up until April this year.
Councillor Baxter.
Thanks, Chair. Ricky has my every sympathy in dialogue with Lothian Buses. As Chair of the Community Council before I was elected, I met up with the directors of operations of both First Bus and Lothian Buses. And the commercial organisations, they freely admit that. And, you know, unless something is commercially viable or is subsidised, they won't they simply won't do it. But I think a couple of points that have been made, I think, are quite valid for us to go forward at this time and maybe apply more pressure. One, as you mentioned, the trams are now bedded in. More buses are available, and I think that's why they've increased some services in parts of the Lothians. But also the Borders Railway. I think the Borders Railway in a year's time will be running. People will want to get to those stations, and it's not walking distance. So there will be a need for more buses that are not just taking you into Edinburgh and out of Edinburgh, but getting you to other places. The Borders Railway will have a station at Chauffeur. You know, it's not that far away. They must be planning now for what's going to happen in a year's time. They must be. And I think that if we add to that the case that not only will people be getting off the trains at Chauffeur, but they'll be wanting to travel to different places, and Dunderhall will be one of those places, I would think, that they will be wanting to serve it. One other point I would like to make, and if we can apply pressure, I would like us to. I know it's of no particular help here, but the solution to this and to many problems like this lies with the Scottish Parliament. We really need bus re-regulation, and we need it fast. The ideas about having a sort of contract with the bus company that says, if you're running the number three route, which is profitable, you also run other routes which are less profitable and feed into that. And this is part of a package, and it gets away from councils having to subsidise because they're all packaged together. The companies don't make a huge profit by creaming off certain routes, but they have a social responsibility as well, which is built into that re-regulation. So I'd be interested to know, perhaps not here, whether Colin Beattie is of that mind and whether he's taking that forward through the Scottish Parliament, but something which perhaps you maybe should speak to him about to try and push for. It's a longer-term solution and not something which is going to help this particular case, but if it does come about, then it will help people in a similar situation right the way across Scotland. But yes, I would move as well that we do apply more pressure to Lothian buses.
Can I just agree with that point? I mean, we've got to get people out their cars and we've got to have people using public transport. But we are where we are at the moment. As has been alluded to, if I understood properly, Ricky, the Lothian Transport indicated that late autumn would be willing to look at it again once the tram service had bedded in. So we are now at late autumn, and I think it would be worthwhile to, you know, if we did approach Lothian Transport once again with that, and along with the petition, you know, to make sure that they are aware that there's a lot of strong feelings within the local community. I think that, you know, I would agree that that's the route that we should go down and what we should recommend here this morning. Has everyone agreed to that? Mrs. Murray, we've agreed that the council will go back to Lothian Transport and they will take your petition along as part of the evidence as to that, and we'll keep an eye on the situation.
Thank you. Will somebody come back and let us know, or will at least let me know an update on what's where they are with it?
Ricky, would you?
Yes, no problem, Chair. That's what I was going to actually say, that I will get a meeting with Lothian Buses as soon as possible, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, and obviously discuss this issue with them. And as soon as I've got some feedback, now they may want to take some time to have a look at it, but as soon as I get a definitive answer from them, I'll come back directly to you. But also the other thing I was going to say, and I mentioned it earlier on, that we've not had an awful lot of feedback in terms of the Ring and Go service, and I appreciate it's not within Dunderhall, but I would stress that if there are any issues that we need to look at in terms of the Ring and Go service, if we get that feedback as well within the current system.
Thank you. Thank you for attending, everybody.